Thanks, Josh, for your time. Appreciate it. First things first, you've been here about 3.5 years. Is this your department now? Is this your division? Have you established the culture you want? Are the people on board the bus, to borrow that cliche, that you want? Does it still feel like, I suppose it's a job that's never done, but you feel like you're in a good place that way?
First of all, it's not mine, right? I think that's one of the beauties of Illinois Athletics is, and I've said this to many different audiences over the years, this is a program of the people. You know, this belongs to every person who's ever donned an Illinois jersey, every fan who's ever bought an Illinois ticket, every donor who's ever given a dollar to the iFund or the old scholarship fund. This is a program that represents our entire state, and it just continues to be a tremendous privilege for me to be in this position and to represent all of those different people who care so much about this program and the great tradition that we have. Do I feel like we've started and have a good foundation in place for coming success? I do. I feel like we've got great people here from our upper leadership, through our coaching staff, through our support staff, through our newest professionals, people who have just come on board with us in the last few years. It's a lot of work to try and build a culture. It's a lot of work to try and create a family. And I think that we've been able to do that here in a way that is uncommon, and very proud of that at Illinois. And that's one of the reasons that I believe the success will come.
You just talked to us about hockey and basically said you've come to the conclusion that you can make a go of it in terms of the sport, in terms of the operation of the sport and everything that that entails. Got to get a facility to be in. Are all the eggs in a downtown facility? If that can't happen, are there other options?
I don't see a lot of other options on the table at this point. The downtown facility, it opens up so many doors for us. It's one of the reasons we've been able to travel as far down the road as we have. If it weren't for the downtown facility, I don't think we would be nearly to the point that we are. And so really excited about that space, about what it would mean for our entire community, what it would mean for youth sports in the region. I was just talking to somebody else about the idea of Tate and Will growing up with ice and having the chance to skate and whether it's in hockey or some other ice interest. I just think it would transform a lot of pieces of Champaign-Urbana, and excited about continuing to advance that exploration.
You mentioned that you can bring about hockey, if it can happen, without having a women's sport at the same time. Explain how that works out, because Title IX.
So there are a lot of ways to explain Title IX, but in our case, Title IX guarantees what's called equal access, and there are three ways under the law that you can have equal access, one of which, in the way that most schools, including Illinois, have satisfied that piece of Title IX is called substantial proportionality, which means that our athletic program has participants, male, female participants, participating at a rate that is, quote-unquote, substantially proportionate to the rate at which men and women enroll as undergraduates at our university. And so historically, again, these are just rough numbers, but speaking broadly, about 55% of our undergraduate population at the University of Illinois has been male, 45% female. And so by extension, roughly 55% of our student-athlete population should be male, and 45% male or female. And so we had enough of a cushion, if you will, under the numbers that even with the additional 25 or 30 heads, male heads that hockey would bring, we still would fall within that substantially proportionate number, and that allows us to go down that path without having to add a women's sport.
So at this point, you would go forward with the idea. Would you expect to own the arena downtown, or would you? I heard a lot of talk about a lease.
We've evaluated a lot of different concepts, and that's one of the things that has taken us some time to understand. But at the end of the day, it looks like the best solution for us would be to have the land donated to the university, and then for us to build a building and own it on that space. So that's the path that we're currently walking down. At one point, as you said, we were evaluating leasing a building from somebody else, but this seems to make more sense. And so that's the current train of thought.
Talking with Athletic Director Josh Whitman, giving his annual State of Illini Athletics, the transfer waiver denial on Luke Ford. I know that was frustrating, and it's frustrating for a lot of fans. A lot of people go immediately to other high-profile cases that were approved. Is there apples and oranges in there? Is there something, a way that, that maybe folks are not understanding about this process that sits better with you?
I think the most important thing is to understand that every case is different, and the NCAA, as is their job, evaluates each case on the merits. If we were not going to do that, then that would be a different rule. If we were just going to grant a waiver to everybody, which some people have suggested that we should do, then that's the direction we should go. But under our current system, the NCAA has a set of criteria against which they evaluate each request. And the facts of Luke's case, unfortunately, didn't fit the criteria that the NCAA has put forward for a waiver. And in other cases, apparently it did. And I don't know enough about the other cases to know exactly what was submitted or what the cases, what the facts were. But in Luke's case, there were some guidelines that we didn't meet. And again, I can take issue with sort of strict adherence to those guidelines, but I have to remember that we asked them to put those guidelines in place. We asked the NCAA for guidance and direction on how these waivers will be handled, and yet in the next breath we get frustrated with them when they're adherent to the guidelines. And so it puts the NCAA in a tough spot, and at the end of the day I recognize that we as the NCAA, as the members of the NCAA, have the responsibility. If we don't like the rules, then ultimately it's incumbent on us to try and change the rules.
Shifting to football and basketball, getting some attention, buzz is growing, expectations are up this year for both programs. How do you feel about that?
I think it's great. I want people to be expectant. I want people to be optimistic. I think that both football and basketball have taken tremendous strides over the last few years, and I think we've got the right coaches in place. I think we've got the right student athletes in place. People who have grown together, grown up together, been through some of the trenches in terms of Big Ten football, Big Ten basketball, and I want our fans to have expectations. And I think if Lovey and Brad were sitting here, they would say the same thing. I think that we're into that window now where we are right to expect success, and whether that success comes this year, next year, I ultimately don't know, but I think that our student athletes deserve it. Our coaches deserve it. We've done the right things to be a successful Big Ten program, and I'm just excited to continue to support them and help them celebrate those coming successes.
No basketball game in Chicago this year. Is that a one-year thing?
I don't know if it's a one-year thing. It's not a permanent thing, and we'll be back in Chicago over time, and certainly the United Center has been a great home to us for a lot of years, since 1994, in fact. But ultimately, we felt like with some of the different scheduling parameters that exist now within the Big Ten, 20 Big Ten games versus 16, which is what was in place when the game was started. The Big Ten ACC Challenge didn't exist then. The Gavitt games didn't exist. The multi-team events were more infrequent back then. Right now, the schedule is being much more prescribed to basketball than it's ever been, and so we wanted to give them flexibility to bring some big games here to State Farm Center, obviously a building that we care a lot about. Have dedicated substantial resources to making it a great home for our basketball program. And ultimately, I think that the game hadn't drawn the way that we wanted it to recently. It wasn't as exciting for people. We made an effort this year. We're taking a Big Ten game in there, Ohio State. And we only were able to draw 5,000 people, and that game here at State Farm Center would have been a 14,000-person crowd. And so we have to acknowledge some of those things. I think it's better to just take a brief hiatus. I don't know how long it ultimately will be, but we want to let the game breathe a little bit, let it return some of the shine to it, get people excited about it again, and then we'll be back up there in due time, and look forward to continuing to make the United Center a great second home for the Illini.
There's a lot of attention, rightfully so, on football and basketball, but there's been a lot of success in the other sports. Is there an element to where you wish they were celebrated more or appreciated more?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, we have a program that's operating at a very high level in a lot of respects, and whether you're talking about certainly the Final Four run that volleyball went on in the fall, you had success in soccer, who increased exponentially from their win total a year ago, just missed on a bid to the NCAA tournament. You got women's golf, who is, to Renee's credit, has built steadily over time and all of a sudden finishes 2 years in a row, runner-up in the Big Ten, and this year finishes ninth in the country. You've got great growing success in women's tennis. Obviously, men's tennis, men's golf have been doing it at a high level for a long time. So there's a lot of things to be positive about, and I hope our fans are taking the time to hit the pause button every once in a while and recognize all the great things that are happening here, all the student-athletes that are here doing wonderful things and having incredible success.
Lauren, I'll let you have the last one. I know Josh has some obligations here.
Okay, well, I've got one more question about the facility downtown, the arena, if built. You say it'll be around $100 or more million dollars. It would be yours. You would be responsible for, you said that the sports in there would take about half of the weekends out of the year. What about the other weekends? Would you be responsible for bringing in events to keep that thing lighted up on weekends?
We would be, and that's what we want. You know, ultimately, we want to have control of the facility. Obviously, it's not unlike some of the things we do at State Farm Center. You know, trying to be a different kind of event that we're trying to attract, but that's also an obligation that we have in operating State Farm Center, is to draw as many non-athletic events into the building as we can. So it's not something that we're unfamiliar with. We'd work in collaboration with Visit Champaign County, Jane DeLuce and her crew, to be sure that we're putting a good foot forward in attracting and recruiting a lot of these different activities. Youth sports, we think, would be hugely successful in a facility of this size. There just aren't a lot of spaces downstate from Chicago that offer that kind of flexibility. You're able to put, whether it's 32 volleyball mats or, 32 wrestling mats or 20 volleyball courts, number of different basketball courts. There's a chance to bring some of these multi-team events into the Champaign area, and it would be part of our obligation to build out a staff and have people in a position to sell that space and get people into the building and into the community.
Josh, very much appreciate your time. Thank you.
Guys, thank you.
Thanks, Josh.